So wonderful to have you all here today. Thank you. Thank you for the lovely welcome that I've had so far into your church community. I am deeply touched and very excited about what the future has to hold with us together. So thank you, thank you, thank you. My sermon title this morning is called Make Room for Grace. And I want to talk to you about opening ourselves to receive abundance, because grace is amazing. Have you heard that? And I've always, even since I was a young child, been in love with the concept of grace, the word grace. And yet, growing up in my very fundamentalist church, the connotation that I was always given, the definition was grace is unmerited favors. And the connotation was, it's what God does for you even though you don't deserve it. And what I have really come to learn is that grace is God doing for us what we can't do from our human selves. Or to put a new thought spin on it, God, it is spirit or the universe acting on our behalf, even when we're not conscious of the act. Grace is gifts freely given that you don't have to earn. Yay. Yay. So, is everybody living a completely, totally abundant life with no lack?
Yes.
Good. That's awesome. If you feel like possibly, and this is one of the things being in Unity for a very long time, I have seen people come and get excited about the principles and work the principles and then not really change much over the years. And I thought a lot about what is that about? And I think what happens is God is always a good giver. The universe is abundant. There is plenty for all. But we sometimes put up roadblocks between ourselves and our good. Now, the good news about that is if I'm putting up the roadblock, I can take it down, right? So that's what I want to talk about this morning, to just talk about a couple of possible roadblocks that might stand between us and receiving all of the good that is there for us. Because there's no question God is a good receiver, or is a good giver, so I need to learn how to be a good receiver. So one of the things I think is a roadblock is this: we have a cultural connotation of receiving as not as good as giving. It wasn't even just implied. When I was a child, I was told it is better to give than to receive. Well, if you haven't received anything, what are you going to give? Right? But we are afraid of being seen as takers, a lot of us. We know that it doesn't feel good to be taken from. But we also know how good it can feel to give. So I'd just like for you as a practice to start thinking when you are in a process of either giving and or receiving, to start thinking about what are you feeling? What is the feeling behind it? Because this is what I know. A good giver gives from an open-hearted plenty in the soul and is not depleted by giving, but is enriched and enjoyed, filled with joy from the giving. If the giving makes you feel resentful, if you find yourself keeping score, if you find yourself going, you know what, I'm only given and this other person or entity is only taking, I want to remind you of this: the universe seeks balance. And if you only give, then there's no way for the universe to balance you than to other way than pairing you up with some relationships that only take. So think about, first of all, how you're giving. Are you giving from this joyful place? Because if you're giving from resentment, I suggest you just stop. So, and taking, you know, takers are not satisfied with what you give. Takers want more. It's never enough. Receivers, graceful receivers, are absolutely enchanted with whatever you give them. They're happy. They're grateful. They're thankful. And a good receiver can take no for an answer, because a good receiver knows that in the next moment there is more good, and there is more good, and there is more good. And if you haven't given to me what it is I think I need, then I'm going to get it from somewhere. So think about giving and taking. I call it pushing instead of giving, pushing. Are you pushing stuff on people, or are you giving to them freely? Are you taking from people, or are you receiving the love in ebb and flow, the way the universe works, the way it seeks balance? So the practice I'm going to give to you for that, I like to give practical things, is just to start thinking about the way that you think about giving. Now, roadblock number two, and this is a big one. By the way, I'll just let you know, I will never stand up here and say, this is what I have learned, and now that I know it, I will share my wisdom with all of you. I'm going to talk to you about the stuff I'm working on. And I think a very important roadblock is that sometimes we feel we don't deserve it. We feel somehow that we don't deserve our good. And I think that might be sort of the crux of the whole spiritual path, is working ourselves to the place where we know that we are worthy, that we know that we are the spirit within us, that we are connected to all the good everywhere, that we are not apart from that, we are not separate from that, and therefore we deserve all good that can be given. And I love this. I used to have what I called myself subsistence consciousness. When I first started tithing, when I was first in Unity and somebody dared me to tithe, and I was thinking, okay, when I come up with no money at the end of the month, you can pay my bills. So I tried it. And it was amazing what happened. From the first week, my needs were filled. And I was a single mother. I was a part-time teacher, contract employee, so I wasn't getting, you know, benefits or regular pay. It was my contracting. And so I just really was afraid to let go of any money because I was just barely scraping by at all times. And from the day that I gave a tithe, now this is how I knew it was from God. The next week, I got a check in the mail from my ex-husband. Never before that time and never since that time. But the week I started tithing, this check just came in the mail. Well, I went, okay, that's God. And other things would happen. My car would break down, and I would find out that it was a $200 repair that was needed. And I would think, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this? And then someone would call me and say, I need you to sing at my wedding next weekend. I can pay $250 or $200. It always seemed like what I got was just enough to fill my need. And I know, I think I've always known, that I deserve to get my needs met. But I don't think I ever knew for a long time that I might deserve more than the bare minimum to get my needs met. That I might deserve abundance and good and plenty. And even in my relationship with God, there was a part of me that would go, okay, I really need to talk to God about this, but you know, I haven't been meditating recently, and you know, I haven't been a really good, and somehow I wasn't good enough to even, it was a weird thing. Anybody identify with that at all? Just not quite there? All right, well, here is what the Apostle Paul, who generally I don't like a whole lot, but I just, when I found as an adult reading the Bible again that all of the scriptures that I was beat over the head with as a child were not Jesus. They were what Paul said. but I love this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. And he's talking about a fault, a thorn in his side. He doesn't ever say what the fault is. But he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. May I suggest to you that that's what it is to be human? God's power made perfect in weakness. Yes, we have these frail human bodies, but God's power flows through these human bodies and can literally do anything. anything we truly believe it can. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I like it. So here's the practice. And it's not something you can just go home and, okay, my homework's done. This is a lifelong practice. You have to learn every day, continue to teach yourself, continue to surround yourself with people, continue to read things and look at beauty and do anything you can to remind yourself that, yes, you do deserve it. You deserve it. Everyone deserves it. It's not that I deserve it and they don't. Everyone deserves it. But the only people who, well, I won't say that. We all are here for different paths, but it is much easier to get what we deserve when we know what it is that we deserve. So that's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to go there, but you know what to do. Pray, meditate, read your daily word, read inspiring things. And then roadblock number three. And this is really, I'm telling on myself here, we literally can't receive because we don't know how. We are totally out of practice. You know they say practice makes progress? Yes, thank you. So, do you find yourself turning down gifts? Do you tend to not let someone else pick up the check when they offer after lunch? When someone gives you a compliment, do you argue with them? Oh, no, 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 I've actually gained 5 pounds. Do you do that? Oh, this old thing? No, 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 not me. He's a lot better than not me. And also, do you ever turn down help, offered help, because you can do it by yourself. It's okay. You got it. You got it. These are all things that I do. I have been given perfectly good gifts that I never used. Christmas time, somebody would give me a beautiful bottle of lotion. It's in a beautiful bottle and it smells heavenly. And I'm so glad to receive the gift and I say thank you. And then the next day I put it in the linen closet and I say, you know, I'm saving this for a good day. I'm going to use the Jergens. And what happens, just in case this hasn't happened to you, just so you know, after you've left it in the linen closet for about 2-3 years, it separates. And it doesn't smell good anymore. So saving gifts for another day, does that ring a bell with you? Manna from heaven. Enjoy the gifts of today. That is your way of telling the universe that you trust there will be gifts tomorrow. I trust you, God. I'm going to use this gift today because I'm going to get another one tomorrow. I know you're taking care of me. I know the spirit within is taking care of me. So for me, it's a knee-jerk reaction to say no when someone asks me if I need help. No, no, no. I got it. I got it. Okay. I am denying myself the gift of rest and the gift of being nurtured to someone who truly wants to give, and I am denying the giver the opportunity to feel fulfilled and energized by the giving, by the helping. So think about that. Here is the practice I'm going to ask. Use the gifts that you have. Use the gifts. Raise your hand if you have in your wallet at this moment a gift card. From last Christmas or your birthday that you still haven't spent, okay? Let me suggest that you're telling the universe, I got plenty, I don't need any more. I don't even use what I got. Why would I need more than that, right? And this goes for all our gifts, your talents, your wisdom, your friendship, your sharing. Use what you got. Use the friendships around you. Use the friends who want to be used, who are giving to you. You know, I decided a long time ago that I can't ever be used if I offer myself freely. And I say, God, use me. God, use me. And God does. It's so cool. So wear your expensive perfume. Put on the nice lotion. Drink the good coffee. People used to give me good coffee. I'd put it in the freezer and I'd drink the Folgers. And after good coffee has been in the freezer for a while, it smells like freezer. It doesn't smell like coffee anymore, just so you know. And I will tell you, I drink good coffee every day of my life. So I'm practicing that. Force yourself to receive all compliments, even if you disagree. Even if you disagree. If someone says, wow, you're looking great today, or you are such a kind person. Oh, no, me, I'm not kind. Oh, really? I didn't sleep last night, I look terrible. No, stop doing that. The only appropriate response to a gift is thank you, and a compliment is a gift. And then force yourself to receive all offers of help. Try this just for, let's say, 30 days. Try it for 30 days. Use your gifts, accept your compliments, and accept offers of help, even if you don't need it, even if you think you can do it better than them. That's my story. And then when they help, stop and take a rest for a moment. Don't go, oh, okay, they're helping with that, so I can go into this next thing. Take a breath. Receive. Thank you. Thank you for carrying that for me. Sure, I could have carried it myself, but it's nice to have the load off for a minute. So, another roadblock I find is our attachment to stuff, to our stories, to our ideas, even to our dreams. And this is a very metaphysical story. Last Thanksgiving, I ordered a new dining room table because I finally wanted to not have to set up card tables in 5 rooms, right? I ordered one big enough for the family. And the day before the table was to be delivered, I got an email that said, we are coming with your table tomorrow. You must have your old dining room table and all the chairs cleared out of the room and a path cleared from the front door to the dining room. Otherwise, we will not deliver your furniture, and we will charge you for the delivery anyway. So what are you not making room for in your life? You know, you say you want a new dining table, but you haven't moved your old one out of the way. What things do you have going on in your life that are not making room for what is next for you? So if you want new clothes, go home and clean out your closet. Take your junk to Goodwill. It'll be a treasure to someone else. If you want a new relationship where giving and receiving are more in balance, it may be that you need to meet the world alone for a while so the universe can figure out that there's a void to fill. It's tough. We also get attached to our stories. My stories are a lot about, oh, I can, you know, my I don't deserve it story, my, oh, I could do it better myself story, or I don't want to bother you. That's a story that I tell myself. God helps those who help themselves. That's a story I tell myself. Y'all know that's not in the Bible, right? It's not there. I was told that a lot as a child, and I kind of assumed it was. It's not. So, think about what's your story. The world owes me nothing. I have to earn everything I get by the sweat of my brow. Is that your story? Lovely if you're a hard worker. And yet know that if you tell the universe you don't need anything, the universe is listening. The universe is listening. You know why? Because the universe is right here. It's all right here. You can't hide from it. It's in your mind and in your heart. The whole thing, right there. As Rumi says, we are not a tiny drop in an ocean. You are the entire ocean in a tiny drop. Just love that poem. I probably told it last week, but it's just resonating with me. We have all of God within us. Everything that God has is us. Now, I personally believe that me, myself, am not everything that God is, but that everything that God is me. We can get attached to our dreams. Well, I said I was going to do this, and by golly, even though I'm hating it now, I'm going to do it. You are not betraying your formal self if your dream changes. It's okay. Have you ever heard the joke about the guy in the flood? and the bus comes to evacuate everybody, and he says, no, thank you. My God will save me. And then later on, when the water has gotten higher and he's now in his upstairs, a boat comes by, and he says, no, thank you. My God will save me. Later, he's on the roof. The water has risen so high. Now there's a helicopter that comes over. Please, come up, climb up. No, thank you. My God will save me. And then he dies. And he gets to the gates of St. Peter, and he says, God, what's the deal? I was a witness for you. I told everybody that you would save me. Can you guess what God said to him? I send you a bus. I send you a boat. I send you a helicopter. What are we not paying attention to that's being given to us because we are so attached to our idea of what it should look like? How many trips to Hawaii have you missed while you were focused on the trip to Galveston? How many times have you been waiting for a bus and ignoring the limousine that pulled up at the corner? I really think that happens for us because we get attached to what our idea of things should be. So it's very useful to pray, God, this or something better. I have gotten to the point, I tell you, if I had gotten the things I thought I wanted, I would have sold myself so short from the life that I have now. And what I've learned from that is I'm going to let God make the decisions about the life I have from here forward. I'm going to show up. I'm going to say, use me. I'm going to say, I'm going to connect with divine idea. I'm going to connect with divine spirit as much as I possibly can. I'm going to work on not feeling separate so that I can rely on that spirit to take me where is next instead of the vision that I've created in my very limited human mind. God's imagination. Spirit's imagination is bigger than Melinda's imagination. So the practice for that is to be flexible. Be flexible. Want what you want. Locate your heart's desire, but know that it might not come in the package you think it's going to come in. So the last one I'm talking about is judgment. We're constantly judging things. This is good. This is bad. This is okay. This isn't really what I wanted. You know, it's very important to me to remember that it's all grace. It's not only grace when it goes my way. It's all grace. So it's up to me to find the grace in whatever situation, in whatever gift I'm being given, in whatever relationship I have. Where is the grace? Because I'm being blessed. You are being blessed. Every single day. I don't care what's going on in your life. I mean, I care, but regardless of what's going on in your life, you are being blessed every day. Are you noticing and recognizing the blessings that come? It's not only grace when it goes my way. So your practice is begin to learn acceptance on a daily basis. Acceptance doesn't mean you condone the way things are. It doesn't mean you approve of them. It means you go, this is the way things are. And all things in the world are subject to change. Sometimes we're so afraid of getting what we don't want that we close ourselves off from what we do want. And the best way to be a receiver, I have learned, is to practice gratitude. At all times, in all places. I had, many years ago, when my daughter was a baby and I was in an unhappy marriage, and I could remember people when I was a child saying, oh, I just don't even know how to pray. I've forgotten how to pray. And I remember as a child thinking, well, that's stupid. You just talk. You know, I talked to God all the time when I was a kid. But I had gotten so far afield trying to follow the rules that Jesus set down. I really was a good girl, and I'm following all the rules. How is it that my life is falling apart? I felt very gypped. I was very disconnected from my spirit. I was very disconnected from God. And a friend of mine, fundamentalist friend, a fellow teacher, said one day, you know, Melinda, God already knows everything that's wrong. Why don't you start thanking God for all of the good in your life? And I went home that day, and when I put my daughter to bed that night, I started thanking. I mean, I started my thankfulness on the way home, but after I put her to bed, I sat on the sofa in my living room, and I thanked God all night long. And I did not run out of things to thank God for. All night long. You can say thank you every moment of every day for the rest of your life and still maybe not recognize every blessing that you're being given. Meister Eckhart, German mystic, says that if thank you is the only prayer you pray in your life, that will be enough. So, recap. Force yourself to gracefully receive all compliments and all offers of help. Learn to know your worth. Make it a daily practice to love and care for yourself so that you can know what you deserve. Create goals, but don't fall in love with how they should look. Find the desires of your hearts, but don't get attached to the idea of the package that it comes in. And appreciate, enjoy, and enjoy all that you have. Use it. Say thank you for it. Really enjoy it. Drink the coffee, for heaven's sake. Use your gift card. Go out to lunch today on that Olive Garden gift card that somebody gave you. Or go to Macy's and buy yourself something completely cool and useless. Whatever. The universe will recognize your gratitude, and the universe will know that you are a cheerful receiver and therefore will give all the more. So I'm going to take this into meditation for a minute. For a moment, however it works for you, I like feet on the floor, back straight, like feeling that connection through my feet to Mother Earth, and imagining an opening in the top of my head at my crown chakra being a connection with Father Sky. I am that channel between heaven and earth. That is exactly what I am. That is exactly what you are. Peace from above me, peace from below, peace deep within me, peace is all I know, peace from the heavens, peace from the earth, peace is all around. Everywhere I turn. So all is good. Everything is good in its substance. And all is well. All the processes and systems of life are running as they should. Because all is grace. There is only God, there is only love. Then it's all grace. So I'd like you just for a moment to picture in your mind something recent, a gift or a happening in your life that went was just what you wanted, or that went exactly the way you would have hoped it did. And let that thought fill your heart for a moment. Feel the joy of it. And say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this beautiful gift. Breathe into it. Receive it more fully. I'm going to ask you to picture something in your life that
you may have been given that you didn't really want at all. It wasn't the gift or the happening that you expected, that you wanted, that you felt like you deserved. And hold that in your heart for a moment. And say, thank you, God. Thank you. I accept this gift. I haven't seen the good of it yet, but I accept it. Help me to be aware. Help me to be grateful. Help me to recognize the gifts that are here for me. All is good. All is well. All is grace. All is grace.